What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike out golfing as we are at Bluestone Country Club for the Eagles Radio Network golf outing.
The summer of Ike.
Yeah, it is the summer of Ike. He's out there golfing. You know, and I want to say here, it is beautiful here. And if you ever get the chance, do not come over here today. This is not, if you're not already here,
right.
It's not for you. That's not to be a jerk.
It is, Country Club Spike.
We're barely even allowed in here. We're not even allowed to golf in here.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you're a member or whatever.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will say, it was jarring this morning walking outside and it being 66.
I like it.
It's, well, of course.
I'll take it.
What are you, crazy?
I'll take it.
But I also, big adjustment from yesterday where it was 90 and humid.
It's hoodie weather, brother.
Straight into this.
Hoodie weather. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Have you thrown in the towel on this season after the Wheeler news, or do you still believe? 57% say they still believe. You know, one person I always believe in, and that is Elliot Shore Parks, who joins us right now with a training camp report. Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing? I thought there was more coming there.
No. Yeah. Elliot.
One of those Spike intros.
Yeah. Well, look, man, you got to read the tone.
Yeah. Well, you have to wonder if Jack had beat Joe in golf, if it could have been him out there golfing today.
I know.
I'm happy to be able to talk to you, too.
It wouldn't have let me. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I lost golf and tennis. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, people where did we? Where was it? Where were we? Oh, it was earlier today when we were. So. We talked, and just to clarify, Nick Sirianni will be on the show tomorrow at 4. We did talk to him today. But while we were there, Jack was asked about losing the competition by Eagles employees.
Yep.
Good to know they're locked in on training camp.
I said, you have a Super Bowl to win?
Yeah, it was not, I want to be clear, it was not anybody in football.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
You know, no coaches, no players. All right, Elliot. So, big question. Anything big from camp today? Who looked good? Who was playing cornerback? How did Jalen look? What were the big takeaways from practice today?
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway for today is it feels like we're finally starting to get some clarity on what's going to happen in that secondary. I mean, we've talked after every practice all year, and it is always, you know, maybe it'll be him, maybe it'll be him. Today, it felt like we got a preview of what the secondary is going to look like. So for the first time all camp, Kelee Ringo didn't get any first-team reps. So it was Adoree Jackson to start the day. Ja'Corian Bennett got in there and did some first-team reps. Mac McWilliams, the rookie, got some first-team reps. And even Cooper DeJean, who has not taken any outside cornerback reps all camp, got out there and did it. So, you know, I wouldn't say the competition is over, but it certainly feels like Kelee, who took third and second-team reps today, might not be in it anymore. So that, I would say, is probably the big news at corner. And then at safety, it was Andrew Makuba for what I feel was the majority of the first-team reps. Cooper was still out there at times in base, but when they were in nickel, it was Andrew Makuba out there at safety. And it really feels like Sidney Brown might have blown his chance at winning this job. He had like 10 or 11 practices where Makuba was either injured or just coming back from injury, and now Makuba's getting more first-team reps than ever. So I would say the big story of the day was some potential clarity in the secondary.
So we'll get to the cornerback thing second. First, Drew Makuba, and you don't want to take away too much from a preseason game, but I think one of the things that they're missing without C.J. Gardner-Johnson is that, like, he's sort of a ball hawk. He was in the right place at the right time. And it's not like either of the turnovers that Makuba was involved in was some sort of outstanding play. The interception just sort of, you know, it was good coverage, but, like, it sort of ended up in his lap, and the fumble as well. But there is something, too. It just seems like there are guys in football who have a sense for where the ball is going to be. And, you know, like, I got the sense they were pretty high on him when they drafted him. But you have a performance like that when nobody else is going and taking the job. I think he put himself in position to win the job on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, and it's a corner too, but especially at safety, they've just been waiting for somebody to step up and do something where, you know, that stands out or have a great game or two great practices in a row. And you're right that, you know, picking up a fumble, you know, he didn't force the fumble. He didn't run from halfway across the field to get it, but he realized it was out before anybody else and he got it. And then on the interception, I agree, not like a great play by the Cleveland offense, but I do think it's noteworthy that for someone where his size was considered a bit of an issue. I mean, that was a crowded space right there. He got through them. Now, maybe his, you know, tiny stature is like helpful there. But regardless, he fought through, got the ball, and made the play. So if you think about the guy he'd be replacing in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, like, he wasn't great snap to snap at safety. What he was great at was making plays when they were there. So maybe what they'll do is they'll view McCube as, you know what, we'll take some rookie pains early on. We will deal with maybe snap-to-snap, him not being a great NFL safety yet, if he's making, you know, one big play every 3 weeks where he's getting the ball back for us.
Now, CB2 seems a little more – you said it seems like there's some resolution. It seems like the resolution is that Kelee Ringo isn't going to be the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but if they have Cooper there, if they have Adoree Jackson there, and they have Ja'Quarion Bennett, I thought Ja'Quarion Bennett on Saturday had some good reps in there. You know, it was one thing mm-hmm. that Ross Tucker pointed out on the TV broadcast is how far Adoree Jackson was playing off his guy, how far I think Kelee was playing off his guy, and Bennett just went in there, and it seemed like he was just on whoever he was covering. So it felt like I don't know. It felt like a guy who was a little more confident in his athleticism or his ability to stay with guys. So, but it just doesn't. It does not seem like that is settled. It's just settled that it's not Kelee Ringo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, I do think, you know, if they would, you know, answer the question honestly, they might say, you know what, we hope Ja'Quarion Bennett has a great next 2 days of practice, a great final preseason game, and we're able to put him out there week one. And if not, we have Adoree who's, you know, been here all off season, who's had a decent training camp and like a veteran guy, we feel okay with that. But the other thing I would say is, you know, we've again talked about this a lot, but like, I think it's time maybe they would seriously consider moving something of value for a corner. Like if Keeley's not going to win this job, Adoree's on a 1 year deal. I don't know if Ja'Quarion Bennett or Mac McWilliams project as long-term starters there. Maybe they do sit there and go, you know what? Like if there's a corner that we give up a third for, or even a second, and this guy can be the starter opposite Quinion for the next 4 years, and his contract is manageable. Maybe he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. Like, I wonder if now, after 3 weeks of watching what they have, if they'd be more willing to give up something of value, like serious value, to get another young cornerback.
So with all this, you know, questions, it seems like, on the defense, that would suggest that the offense is taking big advantage of this, right, Elliot?
Yeah, so I thought Jalen had an A-minus day today. I
thought
Whoa! He had, it's really a B-plus.
Yeah, no, which is an A-minus. Really probably closer to an A than an A-minus. But I did think there was one throw he had. His worst throw of the day, I guess we'll start there since you brought it up, Jack. But is, you know, there was a deep shot he had to Devontae. It looked, when it was floating in the air, like maybe Makuba was going to pick it off, but it ended up being thrown over the heads of both of them. So he had that one bad throw. But outside of that, I thought he was really good today in situational football. They did a lot of, like, two-minute drill, third down, fourth down, and he had three plays that really stood out in those situations. First, on fourth down, he had a touchdown pass to Kylan Granson in the front of the end zone. There was pressure. He stepped up in the pocket, kept his eyes down the field, which, you know, is always a good thing, but especially in practice where it can be so easy just to take off. Thought it was good that he did that and found Granson for the touchdown. And then early on in practice, when it was pouring, like it was cold, like it was gross out there, he had two third down throws, one to Goddard and one to Dotson, that I thought were pretty clutch given the situation. So he ended 15-23, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and I thought an A-minus day from the quarterback.
Well, third downs is what he's generally pretty good at, so I guess that's
pretty important down.
Pretty important down.
It's pretty clear that Jack is more cemented on the anti-Jalen thing than I am, I think.
100%.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it makes me – you know how, like – you know how you can feel like you agree with somebody on something, but they're so far the other side, you almost feel like you're on the opposite side?
Uh-huh.
Jack goes so far, I want to stop him sometimes.
Yep. I should, again, I probably should stop, but I cannot. I cannot. Yeah. So, real quick, Elliot, I know it's not the most important thing, but did you notice maybe a little extra pep in Nick's step after the big conversation you had before practice?
Nick was in a good mood today. He was.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in the next round.
Yep.
Yeah. Ike rubs that off on people for sure. Yeah, he makes them good moods. But I thought Nick seemed in a good mood for sure.
So a couple more things, Elliot. We haven't talked about the trade for John Metchie the third, who played with Devontae Smith in college. I think everybody sort of raised their eyebrow at the fact that they're making a trade for a wide receiver, which it almost seemed like when you're trying to do the roster projection that they might have one too many already that you think might have a chance at the roster anyway. Any insight from you on why you think they traded for Metchie?
Yeah, I think they view this as a guy they liked coming out of the draft. He was a second-round pick, 44th overall, and they're trading him for, you know, a fourth-string tight end that they signed in the offseason in case they didn't keep Goddard. So I think just simplistically they view this as, you know, forget the rest of the roster. If you consistently trade for high draft picks that maybe hasn't worked out of their places, you'll hit on one and you get good value. So I think that's part of it. But also you bring up the 53-man roster. One thing that I thought was abundantly clear on Saturday is that the bottom of their roster is not strong. Like, I know the guys out there on Saturday, at least on offense, won't be the ones, you know, playing. But ultimately, the guys that look like they'll be spots 47 through 53 don't look that strong. So could they keep seven receivers? Like, I know it sounds crazy, but who else really in spots 50 through 53 are out there that you go, you can't cut them? So traditionally, they keep somewhere between 10 and 12 total receiver tight ends and running backs. And I wonder if this year, maybe they keep two running backs. They put A.J. Dillon on practice squad. They keep three tight ends. And, you know, maybe those other seven spots all go to receivers.
A.J. Dillon on practice squad?
Yeah, so this would be more of like a roster machination thing. He's been in the league long enough where if they cut him, he doesn't go through waivers. So they could potentially cut him, put him on practice squad for a few weeks.
Just hide him there.
Well, he would play. You would bring him up, and it would basically just be a way to get someone through the 53.
Got it. You're saying that you're talking about the bottom of the roster. Watching DTR and Kyle McCord on Saturday.
Your boy Kyle McCord, by the way.
First of all, he's a rookie. But everyone who thought I was crazy for not wanting to trade Tanner McKee, just go watch that game, and you tell me
you
which.
You could find someone else.
But you would have to trade a pick for him. And you're getting a pick for Tanner. Like, last year they had two completely valid guys that could go in and play football in Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee. This year they only have two. Like, they have Jalen and they have Tanner McKee. Those other two guys cannot win you NFL football games this year.
Well, so two things off of that. One, in credit to Tim McManus of ESPN, your boy, your favorite.
Okay. Inside of the year candidate.
Exactly. I'll help him there. Like, he had a good note today that he noticed Tanner, like, maybe his hand was hurt and he stopped doing team reps, you know, towards the end of practice. So that's something to monitor going into tomorrow's practice. And also maybe a little noteworthy that he didn't play on Saturday, you know, if he has something that's dealing with his hand. But the other thing I would say about the quarterbacks, I agree, both Kyle McCord and DTR are not ready to go into an NFL game and help the Eagles win. But I think people are being a little harsh on them. For Saturday, what happened on offense on Saturday, and really by the whole team, I thought was an embarrassing performance. Like, they looked unprepared. Nobody played well. And I know people will go, well, it's just a preseason game. You know, who cares? I still think how you perform in preseason games, even if it's not your starters, can be a good indication of just how you're operating. Like how is the coaching getting through? How are the players learning the playbook? How are they playing clean football? And to only have 88 yards of offense, I thought was almost an alarming performance. So I'm not just writing that game off like everyone else is. When they don't play well for 2 days against Cleveland, and then they have an extremely poor performance on offense and really overall, I thought it was a rough week for the Eagles, and they had a good practice today, but I'm not just writing that Saturday game off as no big deal. I think that was a concerning performance.
Are you growing? Like, what's your concern level is probably unfair for preseason and training camp, but like, where are you at with Petullo after all of the training camps you've been through, the joint practices? Again, it wasn't the most crisp performance on Saturday. I mean, is there some Brian Johnson concern here with Kevin Petullo?
So I don't think my opinion on Petullo has changed based off this, just because for me, the Petullo the Petullo job is going to be to counter this year, right? So in training camp, I don't know if you're really seeing that. And now, to be fair, when they were really good in week one of the preseason, you know, I thought it was a good sign for Petullo. So I definitely think, like everybody else, he deserves blame for how poor they played on Saturday. I just don't think we have an answer yet on the if Petullo can pass the biggest test. Like, I believe Petullo can run the offense from last year, can call the plays. Like, I don't think that's the concern. The concern is if this thing starts to go south on offense, is someone in that building going to be able to come with a plan to get it going? And I think that's where we'll get our Petullo answer.
Two more quick ones, Elliot. Number one, it seems like the Trey Hendrickson thing is heating up again. I feel like we have the same conversation every time, and I always end it as at like, if they told us there's no money, then where is the money to pay Trey Hendrickson? But do you think, you know, we're talking last week, ESPN ranked the Eagles edge unit 31st in the NFL. Now we could hem and haw and say maybe it's not 31, but like that does say something. Do you think they would get involved with Trey Hendrickson?
So Hendrickson's always been one that I've thought there was a better chance than others of them acquiring. Like, if you were going to acquire Myles Garrett, you were going to have to pay him. If you acquire Micah Parsons, you're going to have to pay him. I do think there's a world where you trade, let's say, a second and somebody else for Hendrickson, and maybe you only tweak his deal, or maybe it's a two-year deal, or, you know, he wants to perform for a year on a team that's going to be on a ton of big games and maybe up his value. So I would put the chances of them acquiring Trey Hendrickson as small, but I think they are higher than other people, than other edges out there, just because I'm not sure it comes with that huge payday on the other end.
Last one for me. Do you think A.J. Brown is going to play week one? And, like, I mean, he still is not practicing. Should we be concerned about A.J. Brown? Is there going to be a point where we're like, oh, my God, is A.J. Brown going to be ready for game one?
So I don't think there is concern that AJ will play week one. I think he will be out there. He did not practice today, but he was out on the field. He was, you know, jogging around. He seemed in good spirits. He didn't strike me as a player who is concerned about, you know, where his hamstring is at. My concern with AJ is he going to be 100%, or is this going to be something where he'll ramp it up that final week for the Cowboys game, and then he'll just play with whatever percent he is at that point, because he did practice last week, he did some individual work, and now he's not. And like, Nick won't say if that's a setback or not, but I don't know how else you would view that. Like, he was hurt, he started to do some stuff, and then he stopped. So my concern is mostly with the hamstring. Like, it's so hard in season to fully recover as an athlete. Like, you're practicing during the week, you're playing every week, and that's especially true with leg injuries.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So my worry would be he's not going to be 100% for week one, and this is something that is just hampering him, you know, for the beginning part of the year, if not all year.
Speaking of AJ, he was number 29 on the NFL 100. We still have not seen Jalen. Do you think it's possible, Elliot, that Jalen Hurts is not even on the NFL top 100 list?
So I think it's possible, but the
interesting. Would you think that?
Well, because he hasn't been on it yet. That's why I'm guessing it's possible. But I mean, hey, Bryson is 33rd, so it seems like if he is on it, he's going to finish higher than Bryce did. But I think he will probably be on it, just because I don't know how you go from 2 to 15 to off. Like, they were still winning a ton of games. He's still top of people's mind. I do think he's relatively popular around the league. So my guess is he will still be on it. But, yeah, I mean, look, when this thing was voted on, he was not playing well. So it completely shocked me.
Voted on by players toward the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
So.
Did you pop a bottle of champagne when you saw Zach Wheeler go on the 15-day IL? Because you're right about his ranking?
When I heard you had one more question with me, I figured it was going to be Phillies related. But I guess you went with it. I don't know how much this changes things. Like, they were only ever going to go deep if their bats got hot. Like,
yeah.
So on one hand, yes, of course, losing him is a big deal. on the other hand, I don't know how much it really changes stuff.
Burn the boats. Burn the boats.
Yeah, I think even without him, their starting pitching is not as good, but it's still good enough. If they only score two runs a game, they're losing with Zach Wheeler too. You know,
now,
they showed that last year.
What I will say, though, is if the Eagles lost Quinion, that would be a massive loss. That would have a big impact on the defense.
So. All right, there he is, Elliot Shore Parks.
Super Bowl champion Quinion Mitchell.
Sorry, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I wasn't going to let him bait me in. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. I love the Go Birds pod. I like everyone here at WIP to know that I'm listening to their podcast, so they have it in the back of their mind.
It's great.
So I listen to Go Birds daily. You know, you can get it where it comes out every single day. Does it after practice. During the regular season, it's great as well. So
you're locked on the High Hopes podcast, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, I every once in a while, you're like, when I'll mention to you, I was like, hey, sometime on High Hopes, you're like, why were you listening?
I know. Yeah. I know. Because it adds a little level of anxiety.
Yep.
Not used to.
215-592-9494. Chris in Delaware. Chris, you're on WIP.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Chris?
So I think the key thing for the Phillies, and this will help Rob Thompson, Bryce, and all of the guys that you want to pull the team together, they need to go get Doug Peterson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, and Nick Foles, and bring them in and let them give that speech that they had to pull themselves together during 2017. Give that team the true rallying cry that brought us the most magical Super Bowl ever.
Yeah. At least get Jank over there. I mean, yeah, Jank's retired, going in the Wall of Fame. He was the we all we got, we all we need guy.
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins can command a room. Fletcher Cox is a great player. I don't know if he's a big talker like that. But
I don't know about Doug.
Yeah, I don't know about Doug either, be quite honest.
I don't know if Doug's a rally the troops guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Doug.
But Doug, for the simple fact of him sitting down with Rob Thompson and giving him that ability to, where Doug Peterson had the go-for-it attitude during that playoff run and in the
big
Super
balls,
Bowl.
Doug. Yep.
Get him to just put that faith in Rob Thompson to say, hey, make the decision, own it, and just go for it.
Yeah. Well, Chris, it certainly couldn't hurt. Hey, next question today is tell us something that people lie about. What do you got?
Their body count. Men always hype it up and women always undersell it.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm at one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of one.
Well, you know what? It's like, what does higher number get you?
Ooh, boy.
Truthfully.
That was the longest pause I think I've ever heard you say.
Well, no. What I was going to do was, I'm trying to find the right words to say that, like.
Because we had to dump you earlier.
The older you get, the more I understand and respect that sort of thing. Like, you are, you know, it used to be when you were younger, when I was younger, and people would talk about getting married. Older guys would be like, oh, old ball and chain. Yeah, your life is over or whatever.
Oh, dude, it's the advice you get. So marriage advice and now kid advice. Dude, I was talking to an older guy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was the most insulting. He said,
"You're not talking about me, are you?
Not you.
Okay."
He's like, "You know the best part about having kids is
what?
Making them." I was like, "That is so. Having kids is great, you know. Like, that's not the best part about having kids. But that's the old school mindset,
right? And like, I like to do when people tell me they're getting married. I hope I did this when you said it. I'm always like, man, being married is actually way better than not being married.
Yeah.
It, as long as you're in a good marriage, I enjoy being married. So I didn't expect you to jump out with the one body count.
Man, we're all about authenticity.
Yeah,
on this station.
Absolutely. People do lie about it, though.
100%.
Yeah, he was right. That was a good lie. So
that actually could be the one on the Mount Rushmore of things people lie about.
Yes. I would say, now did somebody mention weight?
Yes.
Somebody mentioned height. Height and weight for men.
Yeah.
Women don't really lie about height, but they do lie about weight, I assume.
215.
I'm guessing.
Spike said that.
Yeah. Body count would be on the Mount Rushmore of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might have to think of the Mount Rushmore lies by the end of the show.
Bring back Mount Rushmore weight?
Yes. Just for one day.
One day only?
Look, Ike's not here. I like Mount Rushmore week, by the way. We're going to know on the thing about the Phillies is I feel like we're going to know really quick where they're at. They have three against the Mariners. Mm-hmm. They have three against the Nationals.
Oh,
and then three against the Mets.
The showdown.
This will be nine games where if they turn down a 2-7, and by the way, lose two out of three of the Mets or something, Mets have won two in a row now. The Mets are not going away because the Phillies have not put them away. So if this goes poorly, this is a situation where the Phillies could be out of the division lead in 2 weeks. And if it goes well, they could be up 9 or 10 in 2 weeks. So I hope they burn the boats, buddy.
Dude, I'm having such a vision
of them using burn the boats.
Dude, it's perfect. It's right there. You have
there'd be great merch.
I know, but they might have needed again. They might have needed something to wake them up. To like say, well, we don't have that guy anymore that we can just always rely on in a playoff game, going out and mostly giving us seven innings of good baseball. So maybe it was something that they need to like relock in and be ready to go to the postseason.
Little Ewing theory? Are you Ewing theorying it here?
Always.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, buddy.
Whatever it takes. All right. Coming up next, speaking of baseball, Rob Manfred said something kind of shocking yesterday about potential realignment in baseball. Are you ready to play the Yankees 20 times a year? So we will talk about that next. 215-592-9494. Do you think the Phillies are going to throw in the towel or burn the boats and go for it? No turning back. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Who is this?
It's Oasis, but...
Oh. See, I'm like Elliot.
Yeah. You don't know Oasis songs?
No.
Yeah, at least you didn't travel overseas to hear them. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at the Blue Stone Country Club for the Eagles Radio Network golf outing. Ike is out there golfing. Maybe we'll get a little Ike in the 5 o'clock hour? I wouldn't count on it, but it's possible.
I think so, too. Yeah. I do wonder if he's having a carryover effect from his 86 yesterday.
Yes.
If it's translating to the old course today.
In a positive way.
Yeah. Like maybe he's on a run.
You think so?
Yeah, it could be.
Do you think we could lose him to the Pro Tour?
I don't think so.
No.
See, I got to worry about...
Now, 82, 86 is over par, right? Par is 82?
Of course. Yes,
okay.
Yeah. Well, par is like 72.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
then 70 to 72.
Ah, then 86 is not that good.
But it's a jump.
He's a 90s guy.
Right. Like, yeah. 90s is respectable, but once you start getting in the 80s, people are like, oh, you're pretty good.
Oh, yeah. All right. And is your...
And then 70s is like, what are you doing? How are you so good?
Yeah, why are you playing so much? Don't you have a job? So I never knew this. I'm just going to guess. Is your handicap your average distance from par? So if you normally shoot an 82, mm-hmm. is your handicap 10?
I believe so.
Oh, you don't even know?
I think that's how it is. I never got a handicap. I like didn't officially get my handicap.
You're a golf guy.
Didn't need it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Didn't need it. But that would make the most sense.
I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
215-592-9494. How many tweets are we going to get on that one?
I want more on the Abbey Road was actually a lazy album by the Beatles.
That's fine. It was your melody thing was a little weird.
But I think the album was just the melodies.
No. Every part of every song has a melody.
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP.
The way a handicap works is, you were right, Spike, it's the number of strokes over par you would shoot. And the way that's worked is all 18 holes on the course are ranked by handicap. So if I'm playing somebody that has a zero handicap and I'm a 10, that means the first 10 ranked holes, I get an extra stroke than he does to make it even so we can play each other straight up.
Okay, so it's not on your – when you play with a handicap, do you just add it to your score or is it specifically on those holes?
No, just on those holes, you get an extra. Like if it's
okay,
if
you get a stroke.
Fourth handicap hole is a par four, you get an extra stroke. So you can it's actually a par five for you. So if you're playing a scratch golfer, which means they have a zero handicap,
then you know what I would do if I was playing golf, Kenny. I would just lie and say my handicap's like 30, and I would always win.
Well, it's a gentleman's game.
Okay,
called sandbagging, and it's not uncommon for people to give a higher handicap so they can be in a different flight in the tournament. And those people, there's a special ring in hell for them.
Okay. Oh, wow.
It seems
okay.
Very serious.
All right. Very strong. Very strong. Yeah. Okay.
Well, people could – hold on, Kenny. Kenny, we're doing things people could lie about.
Yes. Handicap is something that people lie about.
No, they're golf handicap.
Well, yes.
You know what? That wasn't my answer, but now I guess it is since I brought it up. So, speaking of special rings in hell, there is one for one Jack Fritz.
Oh, why is that?
I'll tell you why. Jack. It's been a while since you've done this, but today you said something that just infuriated me. You said that you calm things down instead of ramp things up when you're saying
I'm a de-escalator. I'm a de-escalator.
De-escalator, yes. Every time you bust on Villanova or you bust on Jalen Hurts, my blood pressure goes through the roof.
That's
you
true.
Are an escalator, not a de-escalator. So stop saying those things.
In my job, yes. I can see that. In real life, though, I'm pretty real.
Actually, I can vouch for you in real life doing that.
Yeah, but on air, he's very much an escalator.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Spike,
and he's kind of a coward on air because he'll
ooh,
well, I mean, in fairness, you will take shots at everyone else in the top five of five, but then when they come back at you, you're just like, I don't want to be in this anymore.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Or I say something and let you and Ike have to defend it.
Yes, and then we get called mommy and daddy.
Yeah. Well, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they're mommy and daddy because back when it was the previous toast, Jack ran wild, and there'd be some days I'd have to pull over to the side of the road to calm down for some of the snarky stuff he said. So you actually keep him in check, Spike. So
oh, well, some say I talk too much. So, you know, it depends on who you talk to. What do you think is going to happen with the Phils, Kenny? Are we going to get...
Well, I'm not as worried with Wheeler's blood clot as a lot of other people. Like, people compare his blood clot to, like, some of the basketball players. But, A, it's a totally different sport. You know, they're an anaerobic sport that they have to rely on so much more athleticism than a pitcher. Who, not saying pitchers aren't athletic, but it's a different type of heart rate. And where it is, and I was talking to my wife's in medicine with some of her doctors.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
They don't think it's going to be as serious as the basketball players. And we might lose him for a month, but we should get him back for the playoffs.
Yeah, we just have no
idea. That's
the problem.
Yeah, I
guess. But I'm not as worried.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors in terms of, like, where it is, how big it is, how it responds to medicine, you know, whether they need surgery, what caused it, all those sorts of things. The odds of him being back in a month, like, there's not a lot of instances in – because what we've learned is there are a bunch of pitchers that have this because of throwing and the pressure it puts up there. David Cohn had one. I think Matt Harvey had it. David Cohn was back in like 2.5 months.
Yep.
It just here's the issue, Kenny. If for this season for the baseball team, separate from Zach Wheeler as a pitcher and his life and his future, for the baseball team is if he can't pitch for a month, then he needs another month. Probably to build back up to be able to throw, and then all of a sudden we're in the middle of October. So I think from a there's two different conversations. There's is Zach Wheeler ever going to pitch again? That's one conversation, and then there's the Phillies this year. It would be your lips to God's ears on him returning this year, but it doesn't seem likely to me.
Well, any chance we could disguise Alvarado and put a Wheeler jersey on him, sneak him through?
That's a good idea. They'd probably be a little thrown off when he throws lefty.
You know, who's paying attention, right?
Wait, a Wheeler jersey on Alvarado? What would that do?
I don't know.
It would have Jose Alvarado wearing a Wheeler jersey. Yeah.
I don't think you thought that one through, Kenny.
Yeah, when Durant got hurt, I said, that's it. I thought the season was over, and he, you know, he tried to calm me down by saying the Eagles suck, so it was...
So
I didn't say the Eagles suck. I said I don't care about the Eagles right now.
So, Kenny, for next question today, it's what do people lie about? Though you're famous for one.
Yeah, it's a huge one. You want to address the elephant in the room, Kenny?
Oh, how about that weather out there, guys?
A little chilly this morning.
Yeah,
right?
All right. Yeah. What do people lie about, though? We're not going to bring it up, Kenny, but what do people lie about?
A lot of people lie about their age.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, age is on the Mount Rushmore.
Dude, you might have to do a top 10. There's a lot of things people lie about.
Age is right up there.
Putting it on just four seems wrong. So we do have an update on Zach Wheeler.
Okay. All right.
So per the Phillies, he underwent a thrombosis. Yeah, that one. Procedure to remove a blood clot in his,
oh, wow,
in his right upper extremity this morning. His,
wow, so they didn't even try the medicine stuff. For, okay, all right, go
his
ahead.
Timeline for recovery is to be determined.
Okay.
So I guess that means, I mean, they didn't rule him out for the year, but I still would be shocked.
I don't know. We need to talk to a doctor.
I'm just a radio host.
Look, if there's a doctor out there and you can convince Justin back at the studio that you're a doctor, maybe we'll talk to you about it. We work at a big radio station.
Yeah.
We can get a doctor.
Yeah. Right? I would love to know Justin's vetting questions for when a what is on the degree.
Yeah.
You know, that's on Justin, though.
Yeah, that's on you, Justin. 215-592-9494. You know, Jack, speaking, you know, a doctor is a medical professional, and we respect them a lot. But when you're reaching out to Blue Chew to
right.
get their chewables that have the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin, which is great.
Yeah. And you're trying to add to the legends that you may have made up in your mind.
Yes. You don't want that to be a lie, uh-huh. right? You want to be able to perform. You don't want to be a liar.
No.
You want to be able to perform aces. And you know who lies? You know who knows that you're lying if you're lying?
Who you're with.
She does. Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
you want her going around and telling her friends.
Tell it. Be something that she brags about. The good news is, though we respect doctors, you don't have to go to the doctor's office to get Blue Chew. No, 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 no. You go to BlueChew.com. They have the medical professionals waiting right there on the website that can figure out the exact mix that will go in your chewables, right? You don't need to go to the pharmacy afterwards to pick up your chewables because they are going to ship them to you in a
discreet
and hard package.
So
right?
you're the package guy when Ike's not here.
Yes, and I'm the hard guy when Ike's
cut
not.
That audio.
Yep. You don't like. They're just. It's gonna. It, you're gonna pay less because it's made and shipped right here in the USA.
No tariffs.
That's right. And your first month is gonna be free. Free, no charge. Jack's paying for it.
So we're, how long am I paying for it?
As long as they say.
Okay.
Yeah. Go to BlueChew.com. We could put a fake end date on it to just make people go.
Those things seem to work.
5 days. Yeah. Go to BlueChew.com. Use code 94. Your first month is free. All you have to do is pay for the shipping. Again, that is BlueChew.com. Code 94. Your first month is free. Shipping's like $5. And then you can
chew it and do it.
Chew it! Do it! Chew it!
Do you think Ike's out there doing the read along with us while on the golf course?
I think he is. We just found out that Ike is listening.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about his handicap.
Because he always listens.
We got the text. So he's out there. We love Ike. Boy, the show sucks without him.
A lot of people letting us know that.
Justin, do you have the Rob Manfred audio? We have that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rob Manfred was on... Was this last night?
It was during the Little League Classic last night.
During the Little League Classic.
Mets-Mariners.
And, you know, there is a new CBA coming up. So I think there's a lot of interesting things that could pop up with baseball in the next couple of years. But this that he said last night was very interesting.
In my mind, I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim,
yes.
would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. So I think, you know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
So how about baseball feeling themselves at this point? Talk about expansion, where 3 years ago we were wondering if soccer was going to be bigger at some point,
yep.
you know, in the United States. But they have had a good few years. Baseball has had a good few years. So there's two parts of that. There is expansion and there's realignment.
Yeah, I think expansion, I guess we just come to realize that's going to happen with baseball. Like, there's been the thing in Nashville for a couple of years. That's
yep.
the only reason why the Phillies got Dave Dombrowski is because he was working with the Nashville team, and they essentially said, okay, you can go for now.
Until we have a team.
Until we have a team, and then, you know, come back.
Yeah, the expansion thing is It's interesting for owners because on one hand, all of the owners get a fee. Like, so all the owners get money when there's an expansion franchise because they buy the team and they split that money. So that's good.
Interesting.
The bad thing is especially for the smaller market teams, is that all of a sudden the revenue sharing is split between, let's say they add two more teams, where there's 30 teams in Major League Baseball right now, then you're splitting the revenue between 32 teams rather than 30.
Yeah.
So a lot of times there's debate, like in the NBA, the Knicks do not want expansion because they don't want to split the money with more teams. So there's the expansion.
Well, and the other thing is, from a fan standpoint, is that first off, there's not enough good players in Major League Baseball.
Right.
So then you're adding more, so you're watering down the product, which is a bummer. Again, I think we could all agree, like, sports would be better if there was 26 teams.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and we look around and you look at the number of teams that have that aren't spending money on their rosters or do not sell enough tickets to not make it look ridiculous when you're watching it on television.
Yeah. Now again, some places are starting to do better. You know, again, there's been positive momentum, but you still do have the Tampas, although they're playing George Steinbrenner.
Yeah, or Oakland was so bad. But the more interesting thing from the Philly standpoint is, and I think it's pretty layered, the realignment. So the realignment, it would mean two things. First of all, it would mean that teams in your division are closer to you. Like the Phillies are in the same division with Atlanta. That's not a particularly close, you know, team. So you would think that in this, and there have been some people guessing on realignment. One, like, people are talking about it being Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Red Sox.
Yeah, that was Jim Bowden's idea.
Which would be psychotic because it would be the hardest division in the history of sports. Like, it would be too hard. But the other part of that he said that you have to take from it is he says he wants to cut down on travel. Well, the way that baseball works now is you play basically everybody in the National League the same number of times.
Which was a big move for the last CBA.
I think this, the way that he's talking about it, would go the other way. Mm-hmm. Because he's saying you want fewer East Coast teams playing on West Coast time, because essentially then you have an East Coast audience that's not going to watch the game, so you have an audience for a game that only half the team is watching.
Again, Manfred doesn't respect the diehards, which is disappointing. I mean, come on, there's nothing like a 10 o'clock West Coast Phils game. That's when the men get separated from the boys. Yeah. I mean, that's where so I don't care. Like, I'm fine with the West Coast games. I like West Coast trips. I like seeing the other teams. I know it does screw with people's sleep schedules, and I understand from business, it's not great for business.
Yeah, and I think I like playing teams less. I like a lot of the things that baseball has done. I don't like that we play the American League all the time. I don't like that the National League has a designated hitter. Like, but I do like the mystery of playing teams that you hardly play.
Sure.
And make it a bigger deal. And it would be neat if in the playoffs the Phillies play the Dodgers and you're like, we haven't played the Dodgers all year. That would be a neat matchup in the, you know.
And I know it would be tougher, and I get it. But the intrigue and the just fuel behind a Phillies, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox. I know the tradition, right? It would be totally thrown out the window. The National League's dead, you know, but it also died when the DH came over. So, like, are we just holding on to old principles versus what could help? I mean, it would be fun for 162 of 100 plus games, I guess, would be against those teams. We way tougher. I mean, 100% way tougher. Whoever wins the division is probably, like, what, 82 and 82?
It would be really tough.
81 and 81.
Well, because the Yankees are good every year.
Sure.
You would assume that the Mets, given the trajectory they're on with an owner who will spend and a good GM, will probably be good every year.
You have four of the highest spending teams in baseball in one division. It wouldn't be fair to the rest of the sport. Like, they'd just be beating each other up. But from the standpoint of fan intrigue and, like, rivalries coming back and sports hate.
Should they be like soccer, and if you spend a certain amount and win a certain amount, you're in one level of baseball? And then, like, maybe put the Pirates, the A's, like, everybody who doesn't spend on their team is in a lower version of baseball, and they have to win more games to play in the World Series.
Well, soccer, they kick you out of the entire league, right?
Right, yes, they do. They what do they call it? They delegate you or...
Relocate?
What's it called?
Relegate. Never a doubt.
Well, I was right on the alligate part.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. We have like two paths for the Phillies in front of us. I guess you could guess that there's one insanely annoying path, which is just like the one they've been on all year long. But without Zach Wheeler, do they rally? Do they burn the boats, come together? And the question, I think, is the wrong question. The question being, can they win the World Series, is the wrong question. Of course they can win the World Series. Mm-hmm. This is not, and it's not a puncher's chance. I don't put too much into the betting odds, because the betting services don't really, it doesn't do them any good to make the Phillies World Series odds worse when they're not sure on Wheeler, because then you get a bunch of money on it and then you end up having to pay it out, whatever. But I don't think their odds go down, but baseball is not basketball.
Nope.
And it's not football. And when you lose your best player, you lose your quarterback in football, you lose your best player in basketball, a lot of times you're losing your chance to win. You lose one player in baseball, whether it is your best pitcher or your best hitter, you can survive. The Phillies are a good enough team. They have a good enough starting staff especially if you get a normal Nola and a good Lizardo. Like that's still Sanchez, by the way. Chris Sanchez on the whole has been better than Zach Wheeler this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been better than Zach Wheeler. We have a number one starter. Mm-hmm. We have a number two starter. So it's good enough. The question is like, do they lose Zach Wheeler and pack it up and go home and say, this isn't our year? Or do they look at each other the way the 2017 Eagles did and said, we all we got, we all we need, we love that people don't believe in us. You know what I mean?
I know.
But the thing that the Phillies need, and you brought this up with Bryce, is I think the Eagles rallied around Nick to a certain extent. I think Eagles players liked Nick Foles. Like, I thought there was, and they started to believe. I think, like, the Phillies need that thing, and whether it's Bryce Harper, whether it's Kyle Schwarber, whether it's Casty. I mean, in the middle of the clubhouse, Casty standing up in the middle of the clubhouse saying, this is not how we're going to go out.
Yeah, but it just means more when it's that guy.
When it's Bryce.
Yeah. And I know he's got the weight of the franchise on his shoulders.
Oh,
but
God.
I know, but it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. Like, this could be a great story. It could be a great story. What?
I'm thinking about something. So you say the burn the boats thing. I'm in. I like burn the boats. You've been talking about it a lot. You want the Phillies to take it. It seems like since you weren't in one documentary, you're trying to get another documentary.
This could be a movie. this could be a movie. I've thought about them using the burn the boats, but I'm sure that someone...
Would you be okay with it if you never got credit for it?
Yeah. As long as it ends in a World Series, sure. Sure. I don't care.
Burn the boats, the story of how the Philly captain gave the Phillies another wave.
Yep.
Ooh,
thank
boy.
You. This is all going well. This is all going well.
Obama's documentary company or whatever,
yeah,
calls up Rod.
Yep. Yep.
Do you guys have the audio of the first time Philly captain said burn the boats?
This is great. This is great. This is great. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for this.
I'm sorry.
It was a beautiful moment.
Okay. 215. Doing a show just for me right now.
You really are.
215-592-9494. Coming up next, your calls. Also, the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.